that you come and preach what God's laid on your heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a blessing to be here. It's actually, we're headed southwest to Franklin to start a church plant there. And really exciting what's going on, what's happening. We met with the other couple, the missionary and his wife and their daughter, last Saturday and spent the day with them. Tremendous time, tremendous blessing to be with them. They are missionaries that have had experience. They were in Honduras, and some things have happened along with medical issues that they've had to deal with, and the recovery that he's going through is going to take a while. He seems to be okay right now, but it's just going to take some time. But after we sat and talked and talked about the ministry and what our plans were, what's going on, he asked us, he said, would you please come and help us here? Please help us. And so that's the plan. We were praying ahead of time. I was thinking, Barb told me, of course she's almost always right when she tells me something, but she told me, she said, listen, we need to sense and feel what their heart is. Ours is already here. She said, it'd be a good idea if you just not say a whole lot of anything and just let them do the talking. And so I did what she told me to do, and it worked really well. Because normally I just get right in. I'm let's talk about it, let's do it, let's get it done, and off we go. But it was a blessing to spend the time with them and know that their heart is in the same place ours is. And that was key to it. They already have a couple of weeks now that they have been out knocking doors and searching for Hispanic people. There are some that live quite close to the church, the building. There's a Baptist church that is loaning their parsonage to them to live in for right now. And also part of the church building, they're using it for the meetings for when the Hispanics do come for the Sunday school and different things. So things are going well. They had, including the three of them, there were 11 in the service last week that came of Hispanic people. So they're responding. The people are responding already. And we're pleased with that. So our next few steps along with getting down there, going out, knocking on doors, inviting people, searching for the Hispanics will involve that. And then also I'll be doing some designing for tracks and things and getting that ready. And so we'll be going pretty much, unless we've already got plans for something on those days, we'll pretty much disappear from up here on Saturday, drive down to about almost two hours to get there. And then we'll spend the day, spend the night, and be there with them for the service in the morning, and just see how that takes us. So it's exciting. We're excited about that and what the Lord's doing. I want you to open your Bibles this evening to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. The last time I was here to share a message, the first message of a series that I did, actually did it in Spanish years ago, so I've had to bring it back to English, a lot of it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6, 9. I'm sorry, I picked up the wrong one, but I've got the right one, so. Let's jump over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. That was the last one that I did here. We did that one, and that was, let us not grow weary in the work, and we talked about that. And today we're going to be talking about lettuce. Each one of these is lettuce. I like salad, so we're going to work with a lot of lettuce. Let us consider. Let us consider. And that's where we're going to start this afternoon or this evening. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The verses here are quite clear as to what he's talking about, what he's saying to us in Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another and for several things. One is to provoke, another is to love, and the other is to good works. And what we're looking at tonight is we become and need to become motivators when we begin to consider one another. When we consider others important, when we see them and try to see others and work with others through the eyes of our Savior, then we need to be ready to be a motivator, to try to motivate each one that comes across our path and our ways. So working with that and understanding, considering one another, the very fact that we need to provoke unto love and unto good works our brethren in Christ. We need to encourage one another. We need to share with one another. And let us be motivators. So we become that motivator that we learn to need to be when we begin to consider one another. How are things going for you? Too many times we're easy to talk about all of our problems, are we not? And all of our sickness and sometimes, yeah, you put stuff on there, and then other times it's like, but Lord, so-and-so's got such a bigger problem than what I have, and they're going through a lot, and I don't even want to put anything else on the prayer request sheet because, and I'm trying to think of others and what they're going through, and there are a lot of you that are going through things that I could not even imagine. Things that we go through that each one of us cannot really imagine and understand unless we were going through the identical same thing. And so at that point, we need to be people that motivate, consider one another, and encourage them. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And that should be our desire, is to minister grace to one another. As we talk and talk about the Lord, talk about what he's doing in our lives, talk about the scriptures and what we learn, is a tremendous blessing, an opportunity for each of us. But he does tell us, Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So we need to be careful with what we do say, how we say it. And at the same time, it says that it may minister to others around us, that which is good to the use of edifying. So we need to seek to edify others, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So what we have is, let us become motivators. But how do we do that? How do we stay involved in being a motivator? Number one, it's a collective effort. It's a collective effort. We do it together. Being a collective effort to be a motivator, then we need to be on that. We need to be keyed in to what it means to being a motivator. How do we help this person or that person or this ministry or that ministry? In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, he says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So it's a collective thing. It's an effort between two or three or four, just a group, a family, whatever it might be. But it is our desire and should be our desire as a collective, as a church, as a group, to be able to motivate others, to to serve Christ, to walk with Christ, to live for the Lord. We need to be a collective effort in encouraging people to do so. If we're not encouraging others to do the right thing, then what are we encouraging them to do? So we need to be keyed in on our collective effort with His people. So, Acts chapter 15, verse 36. He says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Interesting here, the burden that the Apostle Paul has for them. He's a missionary. I know the feeling. I know what he's talking about there and how he feels. And Barb and I and missionaries that I know, that we all feel the same way. It's that burden, and we've been somewhere, God has used us, a church has been born, we've planted a church, and we go on to plant another one. But what stays with us stays in our heart, and that's the love for the people that we have ministered to in the past. The idea of being a motivator to those people that needed you, they needed Christ, and we gave our hearts and our lives and our time and our love and gave it to people. And all the rewards and the joy that come from that are absolutely incredible. It's just a whole different world. And missionaries understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's a little difficult for someone who is not a missionary to understand. But it's just a different pathway. A pastor feels differently than a missionary. Although we pastor the people for a time until we train one and leave them with them. But it still is different. And so we get to that point where Paul is here and he's talking to Barnabas. And let us go again. We need to go. Let us go again. Let us go check on them. Make sure they're doing good. Make sure everything's okay. Make sure the doctrine has stayed clear and true. And so They're talking about going and being a collective effort of pushing these people to continue. And it says, as you would, in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, I jumped that a minute ago. "And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. What a joy that we each have the opportunity to be a motivator, to be able to talk with others and encourage others when we come to church. There are motivators who know how to, just the talk, the conversation. There are others that just, some just come up and give you a big bear hug, you know. But it's a motivation. I watch those things, and I know my wife is, people talk about her, that she's the hug woman. She loves to get her hugs in on Sunday. But what is she doing? She's doing what we've always done. We don't shake the ladies here. We didn't shake the ladies in Mexico either. We didn't or hug them. Let's put it that way. We'd shake hands, but we wouldn't hug them. But she hugs just better, but it comes in here. And she looks up and she says, "Oh, I still got 2 minutes." And boom, there she goes to catch the ones that came in late. What is she doing? She's being a motivator. She's seeking to be a motivator and serve the Lord in that aspect. So it's a collective effort. We all need to be motivators. And so as we can find men shaking men's hands, talking to you and spending time, it's an important time. It's a time that is to uplift one another. To add to one another's heart a burden for the ministry. And so it's such a joy to serve the Lord, and it's the collective effort that makes a difference in other people's lives. But second, number two, it's a continual effort. It's a continual effort. It's not something you just do a few times and okay, we're good. No, this is a continual effort. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have the assurance in the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians here, the assurance that our labor for the Lord is not in vain. We will reap a reward one day. And as he tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, these very facts, he said, be ye, what? Steadfast. Be ye steadfast. And then the idea goes with it, hand in hand, unmovable. You be steadfast, firm, dedicated. Keep your focus on what you're here to do. And at that same time, that same thing of unmovable, the enemy will attack. Satan will attack. And he will try to man, I'm trying to come out with a bunch of Spanish words tonight. Sorry. Satan will get in our way. He will battle against us. And we need to be careful that we keep our eyes on the goal. We keep our focus on the work of the Lord. And he says, for much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I know. I sense the presence of the Lord. We go out. We witness to people. We invite people to church with the desire to see them come to know Christ as their Savior. And just that time with people, it brings such a joy to our hearts that it's like, what are you going to do? You're retirement age now. Retirement? What's that? I mean, it just, it doesn't compute with me. I have a hard time, a difficult time being able to look at the situation and say, okay, I'm retired. Now what do I do? And I can't do that. I have to keep going. We have work to do. There are people that need to be saved. There are ministries that need to be started. And we're already working on getting another missionary up to Charleston, West Virginia. So there are different things that are in play here. And we've got a job to do. And it has to be a continual effort. You can't let it go. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. A continual effort. He wants to encourage us here as he speaks to the Ephesians. Be faithful. You keep going. You keep going and going and going. We need, well, if you want to say it this way, be like the Ever Ready Bunny? Energizer. The Energizer Bunny. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Still battling with them. All right. So we need to be like the Energizer Bunny. We just keep going, keep going. And if it does start to slow down, somebody pop another battery in me. Somebody gets saved. Ooh, man, just recharge the battery. Let's go. Let's keep going. And so it's exciting to see that. It's exciting to see what God is doing and how he's opening doors of opportunity and with what's going on there in Franklin is just amazing how quickly the people are responding. And so we're excited to get there, excited about what the Lord's doing there. And what we're seeing is the very fact that it's a contagious effort. It's a contagious effort, and it should be. Seeing people get saved, seeing people's lives changed, seeing people motivated to do something, and it just, there's something about it that you know the Lord is in this. The Lord is working, and that's what we want. That's what we ask the Lord to do, having a contagious effort. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. What was Paul doing? He was encouraging Timothy. Timothy is preparing for ministry. And he encourages him and he says, hey, I see it in you. I see the possibilities. I see what God wants to and can do with you as you surrender your life totally to Him. And that's what he was doing. But how did he get there? He'd watched his grandmother, then his mother. And he saw in his parents how what it meant and how it was to be a part of a contagious effort to be a motivator and motivate people to serve the Lord. Now, as we think about this, I want to share a story with you. Were any of you here when we had the young man named Sergio and baptized him here? Anybody here? Okay. A couple of you. Sergio came to us at the church up there. It was a Sunday, and his uncle, who lived here and worked here and been here in town for years and years, he brought Sergio and Sergio's brother and a cousin. And they all came to church. All sat down on the very second bench, not the first one, but that next one. That's where they sat over there on the benches. And I preached that day. Do I remember what I preached? No. But I know that it touched Sergio's heart. He came to me afterwards and he said, "I need to be saved. I want to accept Christ as my Savior." And I was so excited. It was just a tremendous feeling to see how God was beginning to work in that young man's life. And after he received the Lord as a Savior, it wasn't but a couple of weeks, and I'd given him some material on discipleship, and he came to me after the service. He said, "I want to be baptized." And I said, "Wow, we don't have a baptistry over here yet there at Mountain Home, but we wanted to baptize him, so we came here." I talked to the pastor at that time, and we baptized Sergio. It was interesting to see him just take off just like that. He would cling to me like a magnet. He'd come to church and he'd be right there watching what I was doing, listening to everything, Bible open, just going at it 100%. And it was a contagious thing. It was just, people were excited. Others in the church were excited to see what God was doing in Sergio's life. And then we had a Spanish church down in Easley, was having a conference, a Bible conference, and they had several speakers lined up. And I asked Sergio, I said, "Would you like to go?" He said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "Okay." I said, "We'll pick you up Saturday morning at a certain time." And he was there ready to go. What was interesting is Sergio came out from where he was, and he had on a T-shirt. I don't remember what was on it, but it was a T-shirt with something on it. He had on a pair of shorts, like something you'd wear to play tennis in or something, and tennis shoes. But he had his Bible. He had his Bible with him. And I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't tell him anything about, you know, dress is kind of like for church. And I just totally forgot. It went right over me. I'm thinking, and again, this, I listened to my wife. She said, "Don't worry about it. The Lord will do something. It'll just let's go." And so we did. We got down there. It was an auditorium, twice the size of this, full of Hispanic pastors and people that from different areas of South Carolina, North Carolina, and those areas. And we sat down on right where pastor and leader are sitting, and Sergio was sitting there where Caleb's sitting. And It was interesting. Nobody looked at him and gave him a funny look. Nobody. They were just glad to see him there. They had no idea, no history, no knowledge of anything that God was doing in his life at that point. I mean, we're only talking a few weeks. And during the messages, there were like six different messages that we had that day, and then luncheon, and then a couple more. The pastor that was preaching asked all the missionaries and pastors to stand up. So we all stood up. And he said, "We're thankful they're all here." He said, "But young people," he said, "I want you to turn around and take a good look at these men." And they did. Including Sergio turned around and looked. And saw all those men that are serving God and doing things for the Lord. And that pastor said, "All these pastors that you see have stood are getting up in years." He said, "They won't be around much longer." And he said, "When they're gone, who will take their place? Who's going to take the place of this pastor? That one? Or this missionary?" He gave the invitation. And he simply said to them, he said, "God is willing and he will call. But we have to be ready. If God is touching your heart, that you believe one day God will ask you to step in to that pulpit, would you be willing to go and do it?" I looked up. There was Sergio at the altar. A man that had just been saved probably 5 to 6 weeks. That's it. But he got on his knees and he said, "God, I will obey you. And if that's what you want, I will do it." A couple weeks later, he came to me and he said, we're going to be leaving next weekend. He said, "We're going back to Nicaragua." I said, "Already? So I thought you were going to be able to stay longer." He said, "No." He said, "We had to go check in with our visas and they will expire on a certain date." And he said, "We want to be back home before they expire so that we don't violate the law and so we can come back." And I said, "Wow, I wish you weren't going to leave so quick. I've got so much material that I need to teach you and go over." And he said, "Can you give any of it to me? I'll take it with me." And boy, did I load him up with material. Stuff to get him started and enough to get him to where he could teach and preach. Maybe in an awkward way, but if he studied, he would be able to do it. And the next weekend, I thought he was going to be there Sunday, and they actually had to leave Saturday. So I didn't get to say goodbye. Several months passed by, and we had a little bit of communication, but not a whole lot. One of the ladies at church came to me and she said, "Have you seen Sergio?" I said, "No." I said, "Is he back?" And she said, No. She said, "I'm talking about on Facebook." I said, "Oh, I don't have Facebook." And she said, "Well, let me get it up." And she brought him up on Facebook. And he was standing at a little distance from one of these little tripods. He put his cell phone on that, his little pulpit to the side. And he was teaching God's word on the internet. I thought, oh, what God can do if we just let him. If we would just participate in motivating people and considering them and what they're going through and just working with people. And it becomes a contagious effort. Contagious. I am serious with this what we see God doing in Franklin and the response already. I mean, this has just been two Sundays and they already got 11 people coming. That's not something we normally see in this area. But God is working. And I'm so excited to get there and hit the ground running and be involved and be a part of that contagious effort to reach people for Christ. God did it with Sergio. God can do it again and again and again. We just need to surrender ourselves and dedicate ourselves to consider one another, to provoke people to serve God, to love God, to do good works. And just be motivators that are having a collective effort, a continual effort, a contagious effort. But then number four, it's a courageous effort. A courageous effort that we need to have in order to win people to Christ and see God's works grow. Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We do need to wait on the Lord. Let the Lord work. Let the Lord have his way in our lives and in the ministry that he's given us. We need to work with that and say, I want to be a courageous part of that, a courageous effort to win people to Christ, to see, to have courage and strengthen my heart. But he says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm chapter 31, verse 24. Says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Be of good courage. And who will strengthen my heart? The Lord. The Lord will strengthen our hearts. We think of Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, people, they make mistakes. And the Apostle Paul here talks about someone being overtaken in a fault. But he says, you which are spiritual, restore such an one. And how do you do that? In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, there are times when people make mistakes and they are not repentant. That's one thing. But when we see people that made a mistake, they want to keep going, you see a repentant heart, and God expects us to be part of that courageous effort to restore them, to renew their spirit, to pray for them, to care about them. There are many times that we have seen people make mistakes, and if treated in the right way, and taking these things to heart, God works. The Lord works. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That he would grant you. That God would grant us according to the riches of his glory. But what does it say? To be strengthened with might. To be strengthened with might. The Lord wants to strengthen us. And I think one of the ways that I find that God is easy to strengthen me is when I look at, what is he doing? What is he already doing? And Lord, what are you getting ready to do? I just can't wait to be a part of it. That should be our attitude. That's the courageous effort to work with others, even to restore others that need it, but to work and let God work in our hearts according to the riches of his glory and let him strengthen the inner man, the inner Christian in us. Oh, that we would surrender ourselves to God. That we would say, Lord, let us be motivators. We want to be motivators. It's a collective effort. It's a continual effort. It's a contagious effort. It's a courageous effort. Be an encourager. Be a motivator. And watch what God will do with you.